You're listening to Detroit Today. I'm 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Americans have been through a lot to protect themselves against health scares recently, and we're still technically in the coronavirus pandemic, even though it's much milder for the vaccinated. But viruses don't really care about our feelings or beliefs. They just want to transmit themselves from one body to the next. And now there's another virus we have to be worried about. It's called monkeypox. It is now a public health emergency because the number of cases is increasing very fast and the symptoms can be severe, even though there haven't been any deaths linked to it yet here in Michigan. To talk about what monkeypox is, how concerned we should be about it, and how to protect against it, we've got Michigan Chief Medical Executive Dr. Natasha Bagdasarian here with us. She joins us from time to time to talk about how we respond from a policy perspective to public health threats. Dr. Bagdasarian, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
I'm going to start with what monkeypox is, what the symptoms are, and why it was declared a public health emergency here in Michigan.
Well, the monkeypox virus has been around for a while. This is not a brand new virus in the same way that COVID-19 was. This is a virus that we have had a chance to understand because it has been circulating in places like West Africa and the Congo Basin. It is a virus that typically causes symptoms like fever, swollen lymph nodes, and a rash that can actually be quite painful. The rash starts out as small bumps, turns into blisters, fluid-filled blisters, which then eventually crust over and fall off. But that whole process can take up to 4 weeks. And people can be at risk of transmitting this virus to others while they have this rash. So when we talk about transmission, we're really talking about close transmission. We're talking about skin-to-skin contact, close face-to-face contact, or contact with infected bedding and linens and things like that. So that's a little bit of a background about this virus.
Yeah. And who's most susceptible to get this? Where are we seeing these cases show up? And what should we be doing to try to protect ourselves against it?
Well, I think that those are really good questions because who has been affected and who can get this virus are sort of two different questions. So when we look at the global characteristics of this monkeypox virus outbreak, and when we look at the characteristics of cases in the United States and in Michigan, it has predominantly been individuals in the MSM community. That's the men who have sex with men community. And that is just because of the way that the virus has gotten into sexual networks. But when we talk about who is at risk, I think it's very important to emphasize that this is not necessarily a sexually transmitted infection. It can be transmitted in that way, but it can also be transmitted through household contact. It can be transmitted through sharing contaminated linens. So I think that we need to make sure that this is not something where we are only focusing on the MSM community, mm-hmm. And that we are removing some of the stigma so that folks know it's transmitted in a variety of ways, not all sexual, and that we need to be sort of looking at risks across the board.
And how do we protect against this? Should we all be getting a vaccine to protect against monkeypox, or are there other things we should be doing as well?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about the individual things you can do to protect yourself, and then I'll talk about what we're doing as a state. So on an individual level, I think one of the things I want to stress is that if you're having close contact with someone, whether it's hugging, intimate contact, household contact, it's important to know whether those folks are symptomatic. I think it's good to ask if those around you are experiencing symptoms like fever, like a rash. If you do have a close contact with a rash that's concerning to you, avoid contact with that rash. Avoid any direct skin-to-skin contact and use precautions if there's a chance that someone around you could have monkeypox. And that would be things like, of course, distancing, not sharing any of the same common household items, and then of course, you know, masking up if you're going to be in close contact with someone. So I think talking about health and talking about the symptoms of those who are in close direct contact with you is an important first step. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if you are an individual who has fever, enlarged lymph nodes, and a rash, and you're concerned that you could have monkeypox virus, I think it's very important that you stay home and avoid transmitting that virus onto other people. Yeah. In terms of what we're doing at the state level, we have a multi-layered approach to monkeypox. And we're really in a phase of what we call containment. We're trying to contain the virus from transmitting widely. And so the first layer of that is broad-based testing. So we need to make sure that the general public, that our clinical providers across the state are aware of the signs and symptoms of monkeypox so that folks know when to seek clinical care and that providers know when to be suspicious for monkeypox and when to test. Because broad-based testing is really the way that we can detect and capture all cases. The next layer of this strategy is what we call post-exposure prophylaxis. Uh-huh. So we have a limited amount of vaccine in the state that right now we're using for either those who are known contacts of monkeypox or those who are at higher risk. So there is a small amount of vaccine that we've distributed around the state and that we are making sure gets to those who are at highest risk. The next layer is treatments. We do have treatments that are effective against the monkeypox virus. One medication in particular called TPOXX was initially formulated for smallpox but is effective against monkeypox, and that is available for either severe cases or for those at risk of having a severe case. And then the final layer in our Michigan strategy is pre-exposure prophylaxis. And that would mean really making vaccine available to everyone who wants it mm-hmm. and everyone who could be at risk for monkeypox. Unfortunately, the amounts of vaccine that have been distributed by the federal government to date are not enough for us to get to that final layer in our strategy. And we're hoping for more vaccine doses in the near future.
Yeah, yeah. So I wonder if you can talk a little about what we've learned during the COVID-19 pandemic that maybe is playing out here with this new threat. And as you point out, it's not a new disease, but the threat of it seems more outsized now than before. But are there things that we're more prepared for, I guess, or doing more smartly because we've had almost 3 years now of trying to deal with COVID-19?
I think in public health, we have learned the importance of transparent communication and making sure that we are, if anything, over communicating to the public and really making risks well known to the public. I think that communicating uncertainty is also really important. I don't think that that uncertainty was communicated in a great way early on in the COVID-19 pandemic. But I will say that while there are lessons learned, it's a difficult spot for public health right now because people are really tired. They are tired of thinking about infectious disease threats. They're tired of being distanced and not partaking in activities they want to partake in. And so this is a difficult time for public health messaging about a new threat.
Yeah, it's hard to get people to really focus on it the way they probably should. I want to change the subject just a little and talk about this new mental health crisis hotline. It's 988, and I would love for you to explain how this is being used and why it was rolled out by the Biden administration.
You know, I think that overall, we have seen not only a worsening mental health crisis in the United States just for all reasons, but I think that with the COVID-19 pandemic, we really saw things exacerbate. We saw isolation and loneliness and anxiety and depression all become bigger issues than they had been before. And so while I can't speak specifically to the hotline, what I can say is I think that all of these steps are really crucial to addressing mental health and the mental health crisis that we're having in our country right now.
Yeah, yeah. I also wonder if you can talk about whether we are overreacting to things like monkeypox because of COVID, right? Like, are we hypervigilant in a way that maybe, I don't know, maybe is not likely to produce the outcomes that we think because we're losing people. I guess is there the fear of that?
You know, I don't think that we are being hypervigilant. I think if anything, it's harder to get people excited or interested in a new public health infectious disease threat right now. So, you know, I don't think that the risks or the concern about monkeypox are being exaggerated. I think if anything, we would have, I think, garnered more public interest if this had happened 3 or 4 years ago versus now. I think that we're just in a really difficult place where people are tired.
Yeah.
People have not yet, you know, gone back to all of the activities that they missed out on over the last couple of years. I think that there's a lot of playing catch up. People want to travel. People want to, you know, go to big events that they haven't been doing over the last couple of years. And so I don't think that any of these risks are being overstated. I think it's just a really hard time to sort of get people to be interested
to react
in another public health threat.
Okay, Dr. Natasha Bagdasarian, Michigan's Chief Medical Executive. It's always great to have you here to educate our listeners about what's going on in public health in our state. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
That is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk about Detroit's tax structure. What are some of the possible problems with it, and what the best ways might be to incentivize economic development while including longtime residents' concerns more in the gains? Really important conversation about the future of our city. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.